Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The second Sunday of Advent, and as you know, I am preaching a series on particular verbs to be used in this Advent season. Last Sunday, it was expecting, and I asked you that very delicate question, are you expecting? Are you expecting something new this Christmas? And today, our focus is on that word, waiting. It's not a very popular word in our fast pace of life. Wait. Waiting, after all, is nerve-wracking. Waiting seems so unproductive. Sitting in a doctor's office, you have an appointment for 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's now close to 2:30, and you know you still are not next. You may pick up one of those well-worn magazines there in the waiting room. Why is it so often magazines in waiting rooms are at least several weeks old and seldom are ones that you're interested in looking at? Or they may have a television set on. Boring. You may even bring your own reading material along with you, as I do, but you really aren't in the mood for any serious reading. You really want everything to hurry up, to get this appointment over with. And finally, a nurse steps into the room and calls you into the examining room and asks the routine questions. Has there been any change in your medication? What is your weight? And then takes your blood pressure. And as she leaves the room, she assures you every time, the doctor will be right in to see you. And then there's more waiting. I had the experience a month ago of waiting in that examining room for 40 minutes, at which time I got up and left, wanting to say something to the person at the front desk, but there was no one there. A half an hour later, at the house, I got a telephone call. Reverend Philip, why did you leave? I was ready to say a few words not to fall off the tongue of a minister, so I simply gritted my teeth and tried to give a polite answer, but still to convey my fury. Waiting. A couple of weeks ago, I had the reverse pulled on me. Before my two friends from Brazil arrived, I had indicated that I would take them to the opera. I had my own ticket from my yearly subscription, and I knew that my friend with whom I had that subscription would not be attending this particular performance, so I knew that I had now 2 tickets and needed to purchase a third one, probably getting a seat nearby the other two. And I had worked it out that on a particular day, I would go into the city to buy my ticket at the ticket office, and my friend Robert would meet me there with his ticket now available. We had agreed upon meeting at 1:30 in the afternoon. I arrived 50 minutes late. You can guess Robert was not there. When I reached him by cell phone, I discovered he had returned home thinking I had missed my train and he wasn't going to sit there and wait for me for another hour. And I had to pay $12 to take a cab to his apartment across town to get that ticket. Waiting 15 minutes was not long enough for him if there was no assurance that I was in fact coming. Waiting. We're people tired of waiting, particularly if we're not sure our waiting is going to pay off. Parenthetically, let me say that I reminded Robert that there were many times I waited for him when he was late for some event, and I always brought a book with me because I knew how long I had to wait. I wonder how much of each day is spent in waiting. Waiting for the telephone to ring because the person had promised to call. Waiting for a letter to be delivered that really should have arrived 3 days ago. Waiting for your kid to walk through the door when it is now 11:30 at night and she had said she would be home no later than 10. Waiting for the water to boil on the stove. They say if you keep looking at the water, it'll never boil. I don't know if that's true or not. Or I remember my niece, Liz, serving her first Thanksgiving meal a couple of years ago and not realizing how long it took to roast a turkey. Dinner was supposed to be at 3 p.m., and it was now 5 o'clock, and the turkey still wasn't done. And her husband, David, telling her to not keep opening the oven door to see how the bird was doing. All England waiting for the birth of William and Kate's child, who upon birth will immediately be in line for succession to the throne. Waiting for the power to be restored after Hurricane Sandy. For some people, waiting over 2 weeks. Or a friend of mine, now age 55, waiting for retirement from his job as a nurse's aide, which he is beginning to hate because, as he put it, I'm tired of emptying bedpans and changing soiled sheets, having done it for 30 years. Waiting for retirement. Waiting, it's not really an invigorating experience, even though you know it's both necessary and inevitable, but that doesn't make it any easier. In fact, waiting often takes the joy out of life and replaces it with anxiousness and boredom. Waiting, not the most exciting thing to talk about, and yet talk about it we must, for it's the central theme and it is the mood of the Advent period. The waiting embodied in Advent is part and parcel of this faith of ours. It's a spiritual phenomena that gives Christmas its meaning. The Old Testament prophets, of which Malachi is one, look forward to the day when God would raise up the true offspring of King David, described as a righteous branch, who would reign with justice and righteousness. And the word of the prophets, each of them, was wait. And that waiting went on for centuries. And that waiting was still there when two fishermen turned to Jesus one day, and in trying to decide whether or not to follow and become one of his disciples, asked the question, are you the one who is to come? Or are we still to await another? You know, I feel we never fully appreciate Christmas unless we see it as the fulfillment of waiting. The coming of the one who was promised. Now, one of my close friends is Noah Webster, who wrote the dictionary. One dictionary. And I like the way Webster's dictionary defines the word wait. It says, and I quote, to stay in place in expectation of. To stay in place in expectation of. There's implied there are two significant aspects of waiting. One is the kind of steadfastness, hanging in there. And the second aspect is really expecting something, knowing that the time will come when the object of our waiting will, in fact, arrive. It's those two aspects of waiting that became the theme of all the pronouncements of the Old Testament prophets. Hang in there. Be watchful. Don't fall asleep. Keep yourself ready, because you don't know when the expected one will break in upon you. Don't retreat from where you have placed your feet. Discipline yourselves so that you will be ready. And secondly, don't give up hope just because there's been a time delay. The promised one will surely come. So await the promised one. Wait. Stay in place in expectation of. And yet, having said that, we need to admit that waiting isn't easy. Far easier to just give up waiting and go on with other things. Maybe it's because waiting is so difficult that in medieval times, patience became one of the seven saintly virtues. But waiting and patience seem so out of step for those of us living in the fast lane today. We want everything pronto. Send an express mail. Instant coffee, instant gratification. Try this medicine. Relief is guaranteed in a minute. Stop at the red light, but race your motor. Get ready to take off. Why does that light change so slowly? Yes, waiting and patience seems so out of step with today's living. Oh, Lord, give me patience, but give it to me now. That is our concern in this Advent period. And so on the second Sunday of Advent in the year 2012, I will offer a plea. And I direct it to myself even before I direct it at you. Hear again the call to wait. The prophet Isaiah said it. Blessed are all those who wait for him. The psalmist said it, our soul waits for the Lord because we trust his holy name. The prophet Habakkuk preached it, for still the vision waits its time. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. Micah stressed it. I will wait for the God of my salvation. And the Apostle Paul spoke about it. For through the Spirit, by faith, we wait for the hope of righteousness. For Christians, the waiting for the coming one is a wait for the one who has come. Christmas can only retain a spiritual significance for us when we celebrate it as both a fulfillment of hope and yet also a hope for a greater fulfillment. I like that line. I'm going to repeat that one again. I must have been on a bit of insight when I wrote that one. Christmas, we celebrate it both as a fulfillment of hope and yet also a hope for greater fulfillment. It's a celebration that God intervened in history, and in that babe of Bethlehem is the hope of the ages fulfilled. And yet, the story cannot end there. For the hope itself has yet to be truly fulfilled, and will not until that day that John speaks of in the book of Revelation, when God will be with God's people and will wipe away every tear from their eyes. When death will be no more, neither mourning nor crying, nor pain anymore. And so the waiting continues, as so does the longing and the hoping and the anticipating and the expecting. Even so, Lord Jesus Christ, quickly come. Let us bow together in prayer. Eternal God, even as we celebrate the one who has come, with hope in our hearts we look for, we hope for, we expect his kingdom coming. And so we wait. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.